This Wednesday, the citizens of Regina will go to the polls in a referendum concerning a new wastewater treatment plant. The referendum will ask citizens if they want the city to pursue a traditionally publicly financed design, bid, and build contract for the plant. Regina's mayor, Michael Fougere, meanwhile, argues that building the plant through a public-private partnership could save the city millions and bring in millions more in federal support. Jim Holmes is the spokesperson for Regina Water Watch and is leading the yes vote in the campaign to keep Regina's wastewater in public hands. He joins us by phone. Thanks for joining us, Jim.
Good afternoon.
So first of all, can you explain what the difference is between what we think of as a traditional design and build contract and what the mayor is proposing with a P3?
Okay, so in a traditional public infrastructure, the city would decide what it needs. It would get expert advice in terms of design, and it would put it out to bid to a whole number of construction companies and take the best bid, and then go and build it. And then when it was done, they would pay the construction company, and they would operate and maintain it going forward. What's different about this one is that the city is looking for one company who will design, build, finance, operate, and maintain this plant for the next 30 years. So there are two key issues for us. One of them is the financing, and clearly everyone agrees that the private financing will be more expensive. The company's not bringing money to this. They're just borrowing money, and that will become part of the city's debt load, and we will pay that back through our water and sewer rates. So that's the first issue, but we will pay it back at a much higher interest rate. And then the other one is all the city's employees will go over to this new corporation, and then this corporation will be responsible for operating and maintaining this plant for the next 30 years. So very, very long-term contract, and basically we lose all public control of the service.
The mayor said that the city will risk losing millions in federal support if it goes the public control route. Is that a real risk?
We don't think so. The federal government money, this is one of the conditions that the Harper government has put on it, is that the federal government program we're talking about will only give the money to the city in return for bringing in a private corporation. So we do get an immediate influx of federal dollars, our tax dollars, but with this condition attached. And the condition is that we bring in a private partner, and with the private partner comes these higher borrowing costs. The Federation of Canadian Municipalities met in Vancouver about last May, and they passed a resolution saying, you know, please cut these strings. This is bad for the city. Even if it were a good idea, we should be making this locally. But basically, they're saying you're just saddling us with these high debt costs doing this. So, and that's the issue. The issue is what is the long-term debt? And then, of course, the other part of it is that once it's gone to a private corporation, they will certainly have to meet the environmental regulations, or we hope they do, but we will have no day-to-day operation of the plant. And there are going to be changes over 30 years, and we're going to have to renegotiate what we're going to pay for each of those changes over that time.
So is this a case of the federal government's trying to tilt the playing field in favor of private corporations then?
Absolutely. If you look at the people who push these ideas, you'll see that they're just over the moon about the federal government. Most places in the world are pulling back on this. Berlin just bought back their treatment plant, I think at a cost of about $1.7 billion Canadian from the privatizers. They found they were being gouged in the prices. Paris has taken its back. There's a whole number of communities around the world who are taking it back into public hands, often paying dearly for that, and often after having very bad experiences. But Canada now is the new frontier, and we're forging ahead with this subsidy from the federal government to set these things up. And of course, that investment community is just delighted.
So one of the advantages that Mayor Fougere has been promoting with the P3 model is that it's more likely to bring the project in on time and on budget. What does the evidence about P3 show in this regard?
Well, I mean, a couple of things. I mean, one of them is that they do, you know, there's some evidence that they're not bad at coming in on time and on budget, partly because there's a huge lead up to this thing, and there's millions and millions. The city has finally admitted they're spending about $10 million on consultants and lawyers to get this deal going, compared to a typical public project where it would run about $500,000 to the financing. So there's this huge build up, takes a long time, very complex negotiations to get this thing going. Curiously, when the city first announced this, or first started firming up about 14 months ago, the cost was supposed to be $153 million. $1 million. After it became a P3, the cost kept escalating, and so every time someone looked at it, it jumped. So it's now $234 million, about 50% higher than it was 14 months ago. That's the kind of cost overrun they've built in, and they still haven't even gotten any bids on this thing. So we think any idea there's any savings in this are illusionary. And the other one is, if what you want is a fixed-price contract, if you want the contractor to deliver a project on time and on budget, you can build that in, and you can, in fact, build in penalties. Of course, there's no free lunch. The contractor wants to be compensated for taking on that risk. We think it's probably not a bad idea in this situation, because we do need this plant by law. We have to have it online by the end of December 2016.
Here in Winnipeg, we went through a similar process with the building of our wastewater treatment plant. You might be familiar that the French multinational Veolia entered into a contract with the city a couple years ago relating to construction of a wastewater plant here. And people in Winnipeg are concerned that we still don't know the details of the contract, and it's not public. What are your concerns around transparency when you bring in a private partner?
Well, certainly that. We had asked the city back in March for all the, you know, all the important assumptions about this. Just, you know, what ballpark are we working on here? And everything we got back was whited out, redacted, just blank pages. Page after page after page of this stuff. So we really have no idea what this is going to cost. The people we've talked to, we just had someone in, and he was quoting other academics who call this a financial black hole. It's not only that you can't find out, but it sucks all the light out. Less and less information is available all around it. And so that's the example we've seen. For example, we don't know what range of interest rates that we're expected to pay on this. We don't know. There's a value for money calculation, but we know nothing at all about that. There's no supporting evidence for that at all. And we know from other studies and from Auditor General's reports that those numbers are often cooked. Like, it's often terribly biased. The British found the same thing with theirs. So we're very concerned about that. And the reality is, we don't know if these books have been cooked, but we do know that we can't see them.
You mentioned a few minutes ago the environmental assessments that the project is going to have to undergo. Does the lack of transparency pose risks for how the new wastewater treatment plant would undergo environmental assessments and that kind of thing?
We think so. And when a private corporation becomes involved, then the limits of an access to information request gets very severely curtailed. So there's certain things you're not allowed to know: any commercial information, any technical information, any scientific information. In terms of monitoring that, we know that we rely largely on the province and Environment Canada. We had an environmental scientist speak to our town hall about 2 weeks ago now, in which she had done a big study on Wascana Creek, which is a pretty tiny little water body, which is where the effluent flows out. And she had published in scientific journals and then was not allowed by the federal government to speak publicly about what she'd found out. And what she'd found out was there was good reason to suspect there were some pretty nasty things in that effluent. So that's what we're concerned about, what we would have said, perhaps 5 years ago or maybe 10 years ago about our expectations of environmental monitoring. Those have been severely cut back, particularly in that most recent omnibus bill. So the kind of protections you think would be your fail-safe, they've been seriously undermined.
So you're going to be having a referendum this week on the on the process. How were you successful in getting the referendum? I know in Winnipeg here, many citizens felt left out of the decision-making process.
Well, there is legislation in the Saskatchewan Cities Act that provides for it. We had to get 10% of the entire population of the city to sign up in our petition. Not voters, but of the entire population. I mean, adults and children and, landed immigrants, all kinds of everyone, right? And we were able to do that. It took a tremendous amount of work. It really looked nip and tuck. Then when we got it done, the city made a number of maneuvers to try and disallow it. The last one was so blatant, people just rose up. They were just furious. On a Friday, they announced they were going to invalidate it. And by Monday, we know someone was doing some polling. We know that citizens were just bombarding their council members, And by Monday, the city did a 180-degree turn and decided they would go ahead with the referendum. So we were delighted. Then after that, things started to get nasty again. So the city started putting its bureaucrats, tweeting citizens telling them how to vote. Not politicians, but literally city administrators were tweeting people saying, vote no, vote no. They started robocalling. They did a whole number of things. They're not putting out very good voters lists. We think there's been some very bad things we know for sure are going on in the seniors' residences, and other things are rumored. You know, so those may be urban myths, but we definitely know some very bad things have happened. And we know that in a number of the polls, in the advance polls, the poll clerks were not neutral. They were giving out the city's message. So it's gotten pretty ugly here. But you know, we do know that we have good strong support. We have this tremendous volunteer base. So we're just gonna go for it and trust that democracy will triumph. And, yeah.
Are you expecting a strong turnout on Wednesday?
The turnout's already been very high. They're supposed to do it just like the regular election, which would mean 3 days of advance polls. They only went to one, which is a problem. But we understand that the turnout at that 1 day of advance polling was bigger than the entire 3 days in the municipal election, which was just about a year ago. So it does seem to be something that's engaged people. I have no idea what the voter turnout means in terms of the result, but I think it's a good sign for democracy anyway, whatever the final count is.
And what do you see as the next steps after Wednesday's vote?
Well, then the city has a short window to drop a bylaw that catches the intent of the bylaw. So there'll probably be a little bit of work on it needs to be done on the intent of the referendum. So there needs to be some work on that bylaw to make sure it's correct. And that will be the next step. And then we hope the city will go ahead and do its job. On the other hand, of course, if the referendum fails, then the city will go ahead with its plan and we'll get a private corporation to run a wastewater treatment plant.
Well, good luck next week, and thank you for taking time to speak with us.
Okay, no problem. Thank you very much for your interest. And I think this is an issue we're going to be grappling with all across Canada.
Thank you. I've been speaking with Jim Holmes from Regina Water Watch. A referendum on the future of that city's wastewater treatment plant will be held this Wednesday.